repeat. Hoi Hoya Nahusha Vena Ravana Naraka and many other rulers. Of demigods, men and demons fell from their elevated positions because of infatuation with material optimum. Purport, as described by Sridhar Swami, because Hoihaya stole the desire cow of Lord Parasaram Sara Jamadagni, Parasaram killed him and his impudent sons. Nahusha became puffed up when he temporarily assumed the post of Indra. When out of pride, Nahusha ordered some brahmanas to carry him in a palanquin to an illicit meeting with Lord Indra's chaste wife, Sachi. The brahmanas made him fall down from his position and become an old man. King Vena was similarly mad, and when he insulted the brahmanas, they killed him by loud incantation. But out of lust, he kidnapped Mother Sita, and thus her husband, Lord Ramchandra, killed him. Naraka was a ruler of the Daityas who dared to steal Mother Aditi's earrings, and for his offence he was also killed. Thus, throughout history, powerful leaders have fallen from their positions because they became intoxicated with their so-called opulence. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stavitam Jena Dutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Sadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vatsalam Pankum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Vinatarinam. A couple of important words in this verse. Sri Madat. Sri means opulence. And Madat, well, it corresponds with the word mad. In this case, intoxication. But this word madat is it's translated variously: illusion, madness. There's one story in the 10th canto of the Srimad. Oh, there's many stories. Actually, it's interesting. In the verse, it says, "Hai hai yo nahusho veno ravano narako pare apare." There's this word, apare, which means others also. So these are just prominent personalities. Hai Haya, Nahusha, Maharaj Vena, Ravana, fairly prominent personality. Naraka, but Apare, many others have fallen prey or victim of the influence of free opulence, wealth. And despite the fact that each one of these personalities was very, very elevated and influential, they all suffered as a result of this madness caused by attachment or attraction to enjoying the material facilities, basically, material opulence. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I mentioned, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a very famous example of two personalities who became overwhelmed by this madness. Very famous example. Can anybody think of who they might be? Yeah. Now look, what's his name? Manigriva? And Nala Kuvera. The two sons of Kuvera. Narada Muni says in this connection, Nahi anyo jushato joshyan buddhi brahmso. Buddhi brahmso. Their intelligence is got bewildered. Buddhi brahmso rajo gunaha. As a result of the influence of Rajagun. Sri Madad, same word, same combination of words. Sri Madad, they became mad due to the influence of opulence, because they were the sons of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigod, so they're very wealthy, influential, and very wealthy, influential. Sri Madad Abhijatya Adiya Yatra Sri Yutam Ashavaha. And Narada Muni points out in this verse, he says, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. Having money, the influence of money, wealth, is more bewildering than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, or being learned. It's one of the reasons why the devotees, generally speaking, keep themselves impoverished. Why Krishna keeps his devotees impoverished? Why the devotees like to remain impoverished? Because having wealth is it's extremely dangerous. And yet, you know, we spend most of our time working hard to get it. Interestingly enough. Even if a person is very, very wealthy, they still don't think they've got enough money. This is the illusory tendency of this wealth. But then Narada Muni says, when one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Which is pretty much, this is modern society today. People work very hard to get money, to become wealthy, and then what do they do with it? Get drunk. I mean, Christmas is a good time. You know, if you want to see some living examples, just walk around the streets of Melbourne over the next few days. And basically you'll see, you know, like the Tim and I went to the audio shop yesterday to get these microphones, and we were served by a guy who was holding a bottle of beer. He forgot what he was doing. We had to tell the other guys, can you find out whether that guy's still serving us or not? We saw him wandering around with a stubby in his hand, but we're not quite sure what he's doing now. We'd ordered some cable so that we could connect the new receivers in to the... And the fellow who eventually served, he said, yeah, I went out there, there was a cable in the cutting machine, but that was as far as it got, it seems. So this is what happens when we become intoxicated. Basically, madak means intoxicated. We become intoxicated by opulence, material facility. And often what happens then is this, as is mentioned by Narada Muni, this increase in rajaguna, the mode of passion. Symptoms of the mode of passion is increased desire. Calm. One becomes eager and enthusiastic to enjoy a material platform. And along with that then comes huge amounts of effort in order to enjoy material pleasures. And of course, it's interesting. Rupa Goswami recommends atyahara prayasa cha. We have to be careful about the mode of passion and over endeavor, because actually, what it does is it undermines devotional service. It undermines the mood of bhakti. Bhakti is transcendental. It is above the modes of material nature. It's divyam, transcendental. When one connects oneself to Krishna by engaging in devotional service, then one actually rises above the influence of the modes of material nature, the potency of devotional service. And this is especially why Rupa Goswami recommends pure devotional, unmotivated devotional service. Namcha yogi abhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sadhinam samatityaitam brahma bhuyaya kaprate. That one who engages in devotional service without being deviated. In other words, focused on just rendering service to Krishna as Krishna desires. Or in our case, you know, because we're not privileged to have we're not able to realize our intimate relationship with Krishna just yet. We're not able to perceive or understand Krishna's desire. But we are able to understand Krishna's desire through his devotees. And it's interesting, Krishna says, you know, that I am more pleased when my devotee is served than when I'm served directly. So we know how to serve Krishna through serving the desires of the devotees, but still that's non-different from serving Krishna. And if one engages in devotional service according to the desires of the devotees, then one is elevated. Sagunan samatichaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One comes to the level of Brahmabhuta. Brahmabhuta means understanding that I'm not the body, that I'm spiritual by nature. That's the end result of being engaged in devotional service. One is free from the coverings of material nature or material energy. And of course, that's our natural position, the natural position of the living entity. is to be transcendental to the modes of material nature. That's our original constitutional position. But unfortunately, we have become, we're overcome by the influence of the modes of material nature. We're overcome by the material energy. Prabhupada gives the example of a drop of water falling from the sky in its pure state, but then when it hits the ground and gets mixed up with the dirt, what you get is mud. And, you know, in mud, it's very, even though the pure water is situated within the dirt, it's very hard to discern the pure water from the dirt. So it's muddied or unclear. And so therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends us to avoid activities. Achahara prayasascha prajalponi yamagraha. Janasanga chaloyam cha shadbhakti shadvidha. Was it? Vinashyati. Sadbhakti, no, sadvidha, vinashyati. Anyway, these six activities destroy. Vinashyati means to destroy devotional service. So we recommend it to avoid over endeavor, over collecting for a start, atjahara, or overeating. We recommend it to avoid that. And prayasas means over endeavor for mundane things which are difficult to achieve and which aren't supportive of devotional service. Because by attachment to those things, by becoming entangled in those things, what happens is we again become influenced by the modes of material nature, especially by this Rajaguna. And then when the Rajaguna affects us, then, you know, material desires become prominent, material activities become prominent. And that's what happened to all of these personalities, especially Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. They were very wealthy, born in an influential family. You would assume as demigods they were well educated. And yet, as a result of this influence, Sri Madat, they became intoxicated, maddened by material opulence and so. And what happened, what's illustrative here is that they then became offensive to the brahmanas and to the devotees. You know, here we've got Haihaya stole the desire cow of Jamadagni. You know, he committed an offense. Nahusha became puffed up. He temporarily assumed the title of Indra. And so then he got some brahmanas to carry him on a palanquin. Have some, you know, that engage in some illicit sex with. So they cursed him. King Vaina also offended the brahmanas by telling them to worship him, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so now worship me. So this is what happened, and this is what happened to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. They became puffed up, intoxicated, drunken, and then, you know, sporting with young girls in the gardens of the heavenly planets. When Narada Muni came along, very saintly personality, they were so intoxicated they didn't even notice. And so they didn't bother to cover themselves up. So, as a consequence, then they got the mercy of Narada Muni. He cursed them. So, in modern civilization, in modern culture, consumer culture, we're actually encouraged to cultivate the mode of passion. we're actually encouraged to accumulate more and more wealth. Right? Work hard, increase your wealth, and then you'll be able to enjoy. This is the, you know, this is the underlying motivation for people. Get an education, improve your situation, get a better job, earn more money. Then by earning more money, you'll be able to enjoy more. But actually, according to the... And this is the purpose of life. This is the real purpose of life. Sense gratification. By, you know, honest endeavour, by working hard. But actually, this is not the real purpose of life. And this is why there's a conflict between the devotees and the materialists. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the point that the activities of the devotees are just like darkness or nighttime, illusion for the materialistic people. You know, the devotees, when most people are sleeping, they rise early in the morning to pursue spiritual life. And in the pursuit of spiritual life, they actually work hard to eliminate the effect of motive passion and motive ignorance in their lives. But basically work to cultivate the motive goodness, to cultivate a correct understanding of things. And in fact, that correct understanding of things is not something that we try to generate or to create ourselves, but rather we take it from authorities. And then taking it from authorities, then we distribute it to others. In fact, I'd make a point that, in a modern society, they're striving for knowledge, and then in the process of striving for knowledge, they make up all sorts of theories, and then they say, perhaps, possibly, maybe. And Prabhupada says, this is just is ignorance. Perhaps, possibly, maybe, just underlies their ignorance. Whereas the devotees follow the, you know, we follow the authorities, standard authorities. Coming ultimately from Krishna. And we follow the processes, the behavior and the activities that are recommended by Krishna. Because and we see in those activities, it's recommended we encourage the motive goodness, so therefore we rise early in the morning. But for the materialistic people, that's like, what are you doing that for? You're wasting a good few hours where you could be asleep, dreaming. Because, you know, from the devotee's point of view, their dreaming at night or their waking activities is all dreaming. The word says, it's all ignorance. Pursuing material things which ultimately will be taken away from them. And, you know, in the pursuit of all of these things that will ultimately be taken away from them, they're engaging in so many activities that are unbeneficial, detrimental, not only for those who are involved, but to themselves. Moved or impelled to act, influenced by the motive passion. You know, especially, I mean, it's ironic in this season that, you know, it's peace and goodwill, right? But, you know, ask the turkeys and the chickens and the sheep and the cows how much peace and goodwill are they experiencing at Christmas time. Ask the turkey. And people, you know, impelled by the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion, don't understand how much they are becoming implicated in the laws, the reactions, the actions and reactions of material existence. And not understanding that the human form of life is meant for subduing the modes of passion and ignorance and elevating oneself to the mode of goodness. So, you know, personalities like Narada Muni, we see actually they live a very, very simple life. Narada Muni was approached by the daughter of time. She wanted, and of course, the daughter, nobody wants to get involved with the daughter of time because her name is old age. Gerard. Nobody, she approaches everybody, but nobody wants to take her as a partner. Because it means you can't enjoy anymore. And when Narada Muni ignored her, like Supanaka, you know, she was burned by Ramchandra and Lakshman, so she became angry. So the daughter of time became angry at Narada Muni. She cursed him. May you never stay in one place longer than 3 days. In other words, you know, don't stay anywhere so you can't enjoy. But Narada Muni said, fine. Not a problem for me. In fact, I like the idea. Wherever you stay in the material world is a temporary place. Wherever you stay in the material, this is his vision. Wherever we stay in the material world is a temporary place. We're all time travellers in one sense. We're all travelling in time, and everything around us is going to disintegrate. So Narada Muni took it as a blessing. Yes, this is a wonderful curse, actually. This is not a curse, this is a blessing. Let me not stay in one place and become attached to the illusion of permanency that exists in the material world, because ultimately everything is destroyed. Nasato vidyate bhava na bhava vidyate sataha. Of the permanent, there is no destruction. So the permanence of the soul is undeniable, but the impermanence of material existence is also undeniable. Yet under the influence of the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, we become conditioned to our situation. We think we can stay in it forever. But this is an illusion. So therefore Narada Muni was enthusiastic. He didn't mind. What is it? Na te shu buddha nama te buddha. The intelligence don't take delight in impermanent things. Yanta vanta kunteya. Adi means it has a beginning, and anta means it has an end. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so therefore, the devotees are recommended to keep life simple. In a Prabhupada encouraged simple living, and as a result of simple living, then high thinking. But at the moment, if you look at modern society, it's complicated thinking, and you know, low behaviour, which means basically, you know, okay. Very so-called complicated, technological, if you like, and so in one sense it's parading as sophisticated, as elevated, right? We have sophistication, but it's just technological sophistication. But if you look at the analyse the behaviour of the people, we can actually see that the thinking of the people is actually quite at a base level, at a very low level, influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, and you know, encouraged by this false sense of security provided by material opulence. This is why material opulence is dangerous, because it gives us a false sense of security. But yes, everything is okay. I'm all right. I'm okay, you're okay. We're all okay. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy. But without understanding that actually we just wait. The real purpose of human society is not to get caught up in the pursuit of material gain, but rather the real purpose of existence is to purify our consciousness so that rather than thinking we're the enjoyers, we're the coordinators or the controllers. And see what happens under the influence of the motive passion, there's this illusion that I'm the enjoyer, that I'm the controller, that I'm the doer. Kataham miti manyate. What is it? Ahankaram vimudhatma kataham miti manyate. Krishna mentions I'm the doer. I'm doing everything. Whereas we don't want that. We actually don't want that kind of a mentality. One of the devotees was saying to me yesterday, you know, actually we're well situated for increasing our vision in the new year. I said, well, we have to learn that actually we're not well situated. We're in a very dangerous position. You see what I mean? So what the problem is in a so-called good material position, then you forget that I'm the servant. And this is, you know, when I was a younger, when I was new to Krishna consciousness, then in my mind, it was a great opportunity to serve the devotees, prasadam. You know, the devotees wouldn't let me serve prasadam, and I was thinking, when are they going to let me serve prasadam? Let me get up and serve the devotees. Later on, as I became more advanced, I said, how can I get to the front of the line so that I get the Mahaprasadam first? My main motivation for becoming a temple president was so that I could sit at the beginning of the queue and get all the Mahaprasadam. But you see how the mentality changes. You know, when I was a young devotee, I was thinking, let me just do service. And that's actually, you know, service to the devotees is a very elevated position. It's a very advanced position, actually. It's extraordinarily advanced position is to be just a humble servant of the devotees. The advantage of just being a servant of the devotees is that you're engaged in an activity which is very pleasing. And which is assuredly guaranteed devotional service. And rather than creating some idea, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other thing. If you're serving the devotees, you can be sure. Look, if you may be pleasing Krishna by doing what you want to do. You may be. There's always that possibility that you may be pleasing Krishna. But there's a good chance that you may not be. Right? But you can be sure if you're doing something that's pleasing Krishna's devotees, then you're pleasing Krishna. It's why a very elevated position to serve the devotees. And in serving the devotees and ultimately in serving Krishna, then automatically, you know, this whole idea of I'm the enjoyer, you know, this is all mine, I can do what I like kind of mentality is extinguished, right? It's put out. This is why it's very elevated. It's actually a very elevated position to be a servant of Krishna's devotees. It's actually one of the safest positions to be in. But of course what happens is we become familiar with it. We sometimes even minimise it. Or it's minimised by others. And then we think, you know, I've got a better idea. And then, you know, all sorts of problems can arise as a result of our better ideas. But actually, it's a very elevated position to be engaged in the service of Krishna's devotees, because then Krishna becomes attracted to us. And Krishna becomes very pleased by that rendering of service to his devotees. And really, this is the goal of our existence, is to try to attract Krishna's attention, try to be engaged in bhakti or devotional service, which is a unique position, as I mentioned before. Sadhunam samajitjaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. If we can be engaged in Krishna's service, then automatically, and not be deviated from that service, then automatically we rise to the level, we can rise up to the position of Brahma Bhuta and beyond. Brahma Bhuta just means that we understand that we're spiritual by nature. But it goes beyond that understanding that I'm Brahman to the point of, in one sense, the Brahman realization is a sat feature. But to be engaged in devotional service, one is elevated to the chit platform, to the platform of knowledge, and beyond the chit platform to the platform of ananda. Right? Anandam buddhivardhanam prativatam punam sattvayam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. But it enables us to taste the nectar for which we're always anxious, devotional service. And of course, specifically for us, devotional service means engaging in the sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya. Engaging in the Sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya means working cooperatively with the devotees, basically. Working together to preach, so we're serving others. Basically, the devotees are putting themselves out. And it's interesting, actually, Krishna likes it when we're serving his devotees who aren't devotees. Because Krishna says there's no one more dear to me than he who preaches this message to the devotees, especially the non-devotees. That's Lord Chaitanya's mission. You know, the acharyas are always thinking in the following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, how to engage the person not currently performing devotional service. And, you know, we do that by serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and especially for us, Sri Chaitanya Manol Ishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, we serve with the Goswami and the Goswami, and the followers of the Goswami. You know, in one sense, the devotee's desire is not to serve Krishna directly, but to serve Krishna's devotees. In this way, we're actually able to free ourselves from the influence of this Sri Madat madness brought about by, you know, just material association. In the Kali Yuga, even if a man is very, very poor, he thinks he's something special. Madness. And why the devotees keep themselves in a very humble state. Also recommended by the Chaitanya. Understanding the temporary nature of material optimists, friends. What is it? The devotees like to keep themselves in that position of service in a very simple mood in order to keep that connection with Krishna, in order to be engaged in devotional service, and in order to avoid that ignorance or that illusion of material existence, which is exemplified by thinking I'm the enjoyer, thinking that I'm the controller, being influenced by illusion, coming under the control of our imperfect. And even though we're in illusion, we're under the control of our material senses, which are faulty, we still want to put ourselves in a position of authority where we think we can tell everybody what to do. The Prabhupada says, basically, it is cheating. The devotees don't want that kind of illusion. But they rather want the engagement in devotional service, especially engaging in devotional service under the shelter of Krishna's representatives, under the shelter of the devotees. And of course, under the shelter of the devotees, then that means automatically we're going to be engaged in all of the different activities of devotional service. I was talking to one of the devotees recently, and encouraging them, don't leave the association of the devotees. And the response was, but I don't want to be a devotee anymore. But if I stay with the devotees, then I'll have to be a devotee. Well, that's the reason why we stay with the devotees. Because by staying with the devotees, then automatically we'll be engaged in hearing about Krishna, we'll be engaged in chanting about Krishna. When we're engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, have a guess what? Then we'll remember Krishna. And then when we remember Krishna, we remember, what am I supposed to do? Oh, I'm supposed to do service. Right? And automatically the other state, nine processes of devotional service, manifest automatically out of these basic activities of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. And then we pada sevanam, dasyam, vandanam, puja. And of course, if we do all of those things, then we become dear to Krishna. Sakyam. Krishna becomes dear to the devotees, the devotees become dear to Krishna. This is why we stay in the association with the devotees, and why we try to keep in that association, we try to keep our lives as simple and as uncomplicated as possible, so that we can remain engaged in devotional service. When our lives become complicated, when we become too absorbed in acquiring and accumulating material possessions and material things, then what happens is the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance increases, material desires increase, and so from all of that comes more entanglement into the material world. And as I mentioned, for materialistic people, this is a challenge. For the devotees, this is encouragement. If life is simple, they're living simply and uncomplicated, they like that. The materialist, that's a big challenge. What's wrong with you guys? There's something wrong with you. And we say, no, there's nothing wrong with us, there's something wrong with you. Your life is so complicated, and there's so much effort put into accumulating material things, you're not actually able to take full advantage of the opportunities that exist in human existence. And then, you know, when you do get the so-called fruits, if you like, or the benefits of material effort, then what do? Go off and get drunk, chase women, and gamble. And what's the benefit of that? We were talking to one of the Christmas time, which is explaining they drink so much. They wake up the next day and they said, oh, I had a great time last night, I can't remember anything I did. And that's fun. That's pleasure. Oh, I feel terrible. So, you know, the devotee prays, partners. Don't want any of those things because they're all temporary. The pleasures derived from these things are all limited and temporary. What I want is to be engaged in devotional service. Jamini, Jamini. Birth after birth, this is a desire of a devotee. Although it is interesting, isn't it? You know, as I mentioned before, you know, we become devotees and we think, yeah, this is the greatest opportunity, but then after some time we say, oh no, don't give me any more service. I'm fried out from doing too much service. But actually, according to the Acharyas and according to Lord Chaitanya, that's not the mood of the devotee. Jamani Jamanishwari Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoyti Kitwai. He says, I want to be engaged in devotional service not only in this lifetime, but in all of my lifetimes coming up in the future and ever after. So we have to be careful to maintain that mood of service, that mood of service. Because this is one of the dangers. One of the dangers is, even as a devotee, to forget, you know, what service means and what it means to be a servant. And why it's so important to remain serving Krishna's devotees, even if it's difficult. Even if there's some difficult or there are some obstacles, there will be obstacles, there will be difficulties. We have so many material attachments. But actually, it's interesting, is that if you look at Queen Kunti, she actually embraces the austerities that come in devotional service. Because she says, if I have that austerity, then it means I'm going to be able to see you again and again. Interesting. But sometimes we balk at the austerity, because we have a desire basically to enjoy. Our desire is very strongly, I want to enjoy. And then when some difficulty comes along in our devotional service, we say, hang on, I don't want that. But then as soon as we reject that service because it's going to be difficult or hard, then we immediately assume, hang on, I'm the enjoyer. So we lose the service mentality. Interesting. It's interesting. You know, we like devotional service when it's fun. Kirtan, dancing, singing, taking prasadam. Anandam buddhivadanam. This is the nectar for which we're always anxious. But then when there's some difficulty, oh no, this is terrible, I don't want that. Whereas the advanced devotees recognize, hang on, there's some difficulty, fantastic. Let me still engage, and this is an opportunity for me to strengthen and solidify and to refine my focus. Especially as when we're young in devotional service, we have some difficulty and we want to reject everything. Oh, I'm too hard, I don't want to do it. But my experience is that actually all of those difficulties that I experience, especially as a younger devotee, they strengthen me so that I can continue on in my devotional service now. At the time I thought, God, this is hard. Why am I doing this? How come life is so tough? After all, I am a devotee. And devotional service is supposed to be, you know, blissful. Why am I suffering? But what I didn't realize was that Krishna was just testing me. You know, we get tested to test our sincerity. Am I, you know, just a fair weather devotee? Or am I really seriously want to serve Krishna and serve Krishna's devotees? You've heard of a fair weather friend? When everything's going fine, I'm your buddy. When you've got lots of money in your wallet, that's your shout, then I'm your friend. But then when it comes time for your friend's shout, he disappears. Yeah. You know what I mean by shout? Buy drinks for everybody, all of your group of friends. This is how they do it. You buy drinks for all of your friends. And so as you go around, each person takes their turn in paying for drinks for everybody else. So it's called your shout. But when it's your turn to pay, then you disappear. What happened to him? It was his shout. Oh, he's gone home. But sometimes Krishna tests us. Not sometimes, quite often. To strengthen us, basically. To strengthen our resolve to be a servant, not an enjoyer. Because this enjoying mentality, this enjoying mood, which here is described as intoxication, basically. Sri Madad. Enjoying material facilities, enjoying material opulence is intoxication. And we still, you know, we still have that addiction for enjoying things. So when devotional service becomes difficult, there's some austerity to be performed, we're not actually able to enjoy that. Because there is actually, for the devotee, there's actually enjoyment in performing some austerities. Right? So we have to learn to enjoy the struggle. You know, the struggle, and you know, like it's the good bits and the bad bits, I suppose, in life. And that's called growing up. You know, when we're Kavesha's age or younger, you know, we just want to play. Huh? And now we're on holidays. What do we do when we're on holidays? Work? Are you kidding? That's not a holiday. I have a chat with your dad. My parents had that idea for holidays too. I didn't like it. Holidays means you do what you like. And mum and dad foot the bill. Cricket. Cricket. You know, what's the big event on the calendar? Boxing Day test, right? Everybody head off to the MCG or stay at home and watch it on the telly. But you know, when you're a young child, there's, you know, everything's play and you're encouraged to play. But then when you get to five, or six, what happens? You've got to go to school. Huh? And your parents force you to go to school. You don't want to go to school, but they force you to go to school. And so it's a bit like that in devotional service. You know, the beginning of devotional service is all fun, it's all new, you know, all happy and everything, and it's, you know, having a good time. But then at some point, things get serious. Life gets serious. But we think, hang on a second, why does life have to be like this? But of course, Krishna wants us to grow up and understand, you know, the struggles of existence. The struggle for existence is real in the material world. It's not that, you know, you can just cruise through life and just play all the time. And of course, you know, going to school means that you'll be matured so that later on you'll be in a, you know, a wholesome and effective and able-bodied person. So certainly also in devotional service, you know, the struggles and the difficulties mature us and strengthen us and sober us up, so that, you know, we understand the reality of existence. Yes, engagement in devotional service is blissful. But when we have material attachments to enjoy everything, that's going to cover our original blissful position. That's really what's happening. And we need that purification. But sometimes we balk at it, you know. Devotional service means there'll be challenges. When we come up against a challenge, we go, we come running up to it and we think, yeah, this will be easy, but then we realise, well, hang on a second, this is a significant task. Sometimes I have to release myself from my attachments. So it's challenging. And because it's challenging and because it's difficult, then we think, oh no, it's too hard. Devotional service is not meant to be like this. But actually, if we look at the example of the acharyas, if we look at the example, you know, if we look at Prabhupada's example, look at examples of great saintly persons like Narada Muni as an example, or Queen Kunti, we see that actually those devotees embrace difficulty. And in fact, very often, their lowest position, or the greatest difficulty that they had, and their ability to overcome it, was their crowning glory, if you like. Was their greatest spiritual opportunity. So that was the point, that was one of the points that Bhujan Babu was making in his, when we went to the retreat, and he was covering the story, you know, the story of Narada Muni. You know, at whichever point Narada Muni hit the rock bottom materially, that rock bottom was an impetus for him to make spiritual advancement. So, you know, he was a demigod, but he got, you know, cursed to take birth as a sura. So he went from a very elevated position to a very low position. But in that low position, then he got an opportunity to serve along with his mother. He took birth as a son of a maidservant, Sudrani. And so that was like a fallen situation in one sense, but actually it was his success because he got an opportunity to then serve the Bhaktivedantas. Huh? And then, you know, another example, you know, his mother was bitten by a snake and he was left then unprotected. But then what did he do? He took shelter of Krishna as a result. He didn't lament, but he saw it as an opportunity, an arrangement for Krishna. So whenever there was some calamity or what was apparently a material loss for Narada Muni, it actually was an impetus for him to make more spiritual advancement. So in one sense, we have to learn. We have to learn to see, you know, making material progress is actually dangerous. As it's mentioned here, Srimada, it's intoxicating and dangerous. And in some situations, not that we have to, you know, flagellate ourselves, you know, in some Christian traditions they wear a hair shirt, which is basically, you know, weave a shirt out of the most uncomfortable material and then wear that so that you always felt uncomfortable. We don't have to, you know, make the fact the material energy is designed in such a way so that we'll be uncomfortable anyway. We don't have to create more discomfort for ourselves. But we need to be prepared to accept, you know, the realities and understand that even in difficulties, that's an impetus to make spiritual advancement and to cultivate, you know, a mood of humble service. That will be very pleasing to Krishna, and Krishna will actually bestow his mercy upon us if we accept those things humbly and tolerantly. It was just Mahaprabhu's message. Trinada Pisanichina Tarori Vasahishna Amanida Manadina Kirtaniya Sadahari. In order to continue on with our devotional service, we have to learn to accept the difficulties and the challenges humbly and with tolerance, and not expect, you know, gain for ourselves. That's the meaning of pure devotional service. And if it's done in the association of the devotees, with the blessings of the devotees, then Krishna will be very, very pleased, and devotional service will be guaranteed for us. Devotional service will be guaranteed. Because it's, you know, it's underpinning, the foundation of it is, let me be a servant, not let me be an enjoyer. And that's actually our wealth. The wealth of the devotees is in that mood of service. If we can just keep that mood of serving Krishna and serving the devotees, if we can just keep that, that's our wealth actually. That's the most valuable thing. Because by doing that, then you're guaranteed to get Krishna's attention. Whereas, you know, if you get the material things that you're getting, working so hard for, you're guaranteed you'll lose sight of Krishna. And in the process, like these personalities here commit offences to the devotees, and then all, you know, well, it all just breaks down. So I think we should finish it. Does anybody have any comments or questions? More time to play. Yeah. Pushing too hard? Is it possible? Well, I have friends who were young devotees once, and they got pushed hard, and they are wonderful devotees. Now, I have other friends who were young devotees once, got pushed hard, and didn't like it, and left devotional service. And they're not as good devotees as those who stayed and stuck it out. So, and in fact they regret it sometimes that they left Krishna and that they left the association of the devotees and didn't continue with their devotional service as they would have liked to. But they were challenged, it was very difficult. There's somehow or other this idea that if you engage in devotional service and you do it too much, that you'll be a loser. Well, yes, materially you may be a loser, but spiritually you'll never be the loser. And so therefore, you know, Krishna says, Nihabi Krama Naso Si Pratyavayo Navijate Swapramapya Siddhama Satrayate Mahatobhayat, that there is no loss or diminution on the path of devotional service. In fact, just a little bit of advancement can save us from the greatest fear, which means to take birth again, you know, as an animal or lower, right? So this is, it depends on how you measure success. If you measure success from the point of material, you know, profit and gain, distinction, all that sort of thing, then you may be the loser if you engage in devotional service, right? But from the devotional point of view, if you engage in devotional service, then you'll never be the loser because you'll always get the benefit of that service to Krishna. So, and here's another comment. We're all the same age, actually. We're all eternal. So, you know, this idea that, oh, you're a young devotee and you're just coming to devotional service. No, actually, we're all the same age and we're all devotees and we should be engaging in Krishna's service. That's actually our original position. Huh? That's our original position. So, we're just being reconnected to what we should be doing in our eternal spiritual position. But, by the same token, that's like the absolute platform, the absolute position in one sense. But, on the other hand, as you say, you know, we let our children play, we don't make them work. And, you know, there is that saying, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, right? So, Jack or Jill. we do try to intersperse our austerities with, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the philosophy, eating prasadam, having festivals, right? Association with the devotee. So we try to balance it out a little bit, which is one of the reasons why we stopped our marathon at the point that we did, so that we could then engage in the preaching with Indrajitha Maharaj and the devotees, and, you know, with the odd wedding or two, just to, you know, keep ourselves on our toes. And we've got Snan Yatra tomorrow, you know, which is just, you know, you can't beat, from my perspective, there's no better festival than Snan Yatra in Melbourne. That's my understanding. Unfortunately, this year, I was just thinking the other day, you know, I won't be here tomorrow evening. And it's the first Snan Yatra that I've missed in 29 years. Which is a bit stupid, but anyway, what to do? That's another service to do. It's such a wonderful. So, you know, we can take advantage of the festivals. You know, a lot of kirtan. You know, we didn't have a Bhagavatam class the other day. We just had a 3-hour kirtan. So who didn't like that? In the Jinja Maharaj will pick you up and throw you around the room. One year when the Jinja Maharaj came here, we used to have the microphone cord and we had it swing around like a skipping rope and the devotees were skipping up and down. Right here in the. Balaram and Korma weren't here, and he said, "Don't tell Balaram and Korma what we're doing." That was fun. We had long kirtans in too, so you know, we try to also, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, it's just chant, it's just, I was listening to a class, and Prabhupada said that in devotional service, what is it, there's that verse, Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavedvayam Indriyai Seva Mukhi Hijivado Svayameva Svaratyada. And he Prabhupada mentions that, or that Rupa Goswami mentions, you know, Jivado, that devotional service begins with the tongue. So Prabhupada said, you know, devotional service is just, you know, chanting and feasting. And in that way, we engage our tongue. So it's very easy. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna and say Krishna Prasadam. He didn't mention, you know, the austerities of preaching Krishna consciousness. And we saw it, actually, we see it in Prabhupada's example, how he took on, you know, great austerities and faced up to, you know, amazing challenges. You know, the Juhu project is an example of Prabhupada's, you know, just focused determination and commitment to serving Radha Rasa Bihari, even when his disciples had signed the agreement away. Right? Kumar Krishna Maharaj, much to Prabhupada's displeasure, had signed away the whole thing back to Mr. N. Prabhupada was furious and didn't accept it. And just went into battle some more. And I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj told us, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who told us, you know, Prabhupada was chanting japa and then he just put his beads back down. He said, I can't chant. I can't jump around. I said, why not? He said, there's just too much anxiety about the Juhu temple. So, you know, we think, oh, it's so hard, you know, why is it me? Well, it's not just you. Prabhupada also experienced the same, you know, things that we experience in our challenges to be a devotee. Right? Just that, and, you know, Prabhupada said, I promised Radha Rasa Bihari that I would build this temple, I would give them this temple. So we're not going to, you know, that's my promise, I'm not going to be stopped, despite my disciples and everybody else who's not cooperating. So, it's all chanting and feasting, but there's also some hard work, there's also some hard yakka involved. Of course, you know, in our preaching practice, we don't tell people, you know, we don't read out all the fine print to them. And sometimes the devotees think, oh, I was cheated. The devotees cheated me. They told me that I would just be blissful and happy. They didn't tell me about the hard work. And even, you know, we smile about that. You know, we laugh about that. But that's actually for our benefit also, it's purifying. So, but we do have to be careful, you know, we can't make all austerity, that's too much. So we have to balance, we have to be sensibly balanced, just like with our children. You know, we encourage them, even sometimes force them to do well at school and so forth. And we do that knowing that that's for their benefit. But at the same time, we also ease off, you know, have birthday parties and feed them cake and take them to Luna Park and do things that were, you know, to make life variegated so that it's enjoyable. Anything else?
Find a good school.
So just take it easy on your kids, is that what you're saying? Yeah, well, that was my point. We have to be somewhat balanced in our approach. And I think ISKCON over the years has become a little more balanced. Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah,
fanaticism?
Never.
We wouldn't do anything like that, would we? Following. Yep. I'm a devotee and I'm better than you. If they're just studying. We're party poopers. I do that to my parents all the time. But you know, basically, we've taken over the parties, so now we cook for the party. And then everybody can eat everything because it's all Hare Krishna. Basically, we have to make sure that all parties are basically run according to the principles of Hare Krishna. And we make more devotees so that the devotees aren't misfits, but they're the norm. And then the others become the misfits. Well, even in Indian society, you know, Govinda Kund went back to Delhi and her friends wanted her to come and play cards, which is what they would normally do, and she wouldn't. And they said, "You're acting like somebody who's just been to Vrindavan on a pilgrimage. You're coming from Melbourne. What's wrong with you?" So even in Indian society, we stick out a little bit like sore thumbs sometimes. Yeah, we do. And you know what it's called? It's called an occupational hazard. One of the reasons why I was attracted to Krishna consciousness is because I had a desire that, you know, people would look at me when I walked down the street. I wanted to be noticed. Right? So now when I walk down the street, I get noticed. And I'm very happy. Especially at Christmas time. It's really funny at Christmas time. You walk down the street and there's always people, you know, want to wave to you or, "Hi, how's it going?" More so than... Yeah. Alright, we better finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Mahaprasadam ki jai, Snanyatra ki jai.